I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston.
Yo! And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast. Just the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk brought to you right in your ear hole by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Shout out to all my patrons. If you were a patron on Patreon, you can actually see this video. And you see it scroll across the bottom of the screen, www.freedomtrainradio.com. How to become a patron? All you got to do is go to patreon.com/thefix. thefixpatreon.com/thefix. Patreon.com/thefix. You can become a patron and be able to see these videos. And you're also contributing to the Fix Sports Podcast, as well as overall the Freedom Train Network, to help grow the platform, bring more resources to the platform, so the Fix Sports Podcast and the Freedom Train Network can be more of service to the to my community, to the overall community, and be more of a resource to the community. www.freedomtrainradio.com, patreon.com/thefix, and remember that remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips, the stories of our sung and unsung heroes, our stories from our perspectives at your fingertips. All you got to do is visit www.ontheshoulders1.com and giving you the stories of the sung and unsung heroes throughout the African diaspora through the On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, which is available on their website. For my patrons, you can see it on the screen, www.ontheshoulders1.com. The On the Shoulders of Giants online course is being revamped, but they will be available again either on Patreon, I don't know, but they do have online courses, but they're being revamped, so I'll give you more of an update on that, as well as you have the On the Shoulders of Giants nonprofit organization. You can do face-to-face educational sessions, face-to-face speaking engagements, virtual speaking engagements, whatever you need. The information can be accessible through smartphones, smart TVs, smart boards, computers, tablets, whatever you need, online, offline, face-to-face, or virtual. All you got to do is visit the website once again at www.ontheshoulders1.com. And you get all the info you need. All right, man, let's get into this thing. We're really going down in the South on this good Monday. Give y'all this rundown on what we talk about, because we got some good ones today. Got some topics, Of course, we got topics, man. Some good topics. And then, you know, my weekly rant. You know, I got to go in on that. So I give you my rundown. So I got two HBCU spotlights, one HBCU news. First HBCU spotlight will be going to a cornerback who plays for North Carolina Central University, who is going to the Senior Bowl. My dog going to the Senior Bowl. All right, so the second part of my HBCU spotlight will go to a hooper, a basketball, female basketball player from St. Augustine University, who is not an author, so she done published a book. So myself as an author and a baller myself, you know what I'm saying? I'm showing some love. So We're going to do that. HBCU news. Deion over there snagging players like he should. So Neon Deion, young prime, he has grabbed another four-star athlete, this time a four-star athlete from Florida State University. So we're going to get into that and learn as much about that as possible. I'm going to learn you. Then when we get into our stories, remember I talked about Lewis Hamilton. I think it was the episode one. I talked about Lewis Hamilton, Formula One's only black driver, Lewis Hamilton. Well, he's in the news again because he wins a record-tying seventh world title. And he talked about the race relations that go along with being the only black driver in Formula One. So we're going to get into that. Somebody, couple people got their whoop. Somebody got their whoop Saturday. And somebody got their whoop last month that I'm just finding out. But I'm going to talk about it. So Terrence Crawford fought Cale Brock this past Saturday. And it went four rounds. Terrence Crawford did his thing. So we're going to get into that. Vasily Lomachenko takes an L. He lost to Teofimo Lopez Jr. So we're going to talk about that. And that happened in October. I don't know how I missed it, but I missed it. But like I said, I'm going to talk about it anyways. So Vasily Lomachenko gets beat by Teofimo Lopez Jr. So we're going to get into that. NBA, little NBA trade stuff. We know they're talking about trading James Harden. James Harden looking for different places to get traded to. DeMar DeRozan, his name was thrown out as far as being somebody who would be traded to the Lakers. I know today they're talking about Dennis Schroeder being somebody who could be traded to the Lakers. But what we do know is Chris Paul, as of today, as of a couple hours ago, have been traded to the Phoenix Suns, traded in principle to the Phoenix Suns. So we're going to talk about that. What else I got? Give you an update on this past weekend's college football scores. COVID wreaking havoc on the college football season, too. Gonna give you an update on this past weekend's NFL scores. There's a NASCAR driver in the truck series who's been suspended indefinitely because of some stuff by his social media. What he didn't did? What you did? What you didn't did, boy? What you didn't did, boy? And my weekly rant is gonna be aimed at Notre Dame's president and Notre Dame student body who rushed the field after the Clemson victory, and for two reasons. For one, bitch, you Notre Dame. Notre Dame is used to winning. You don't rush the field after you beat Clemson, bitch. You Notre Dame. Two, you in the middle of a pandemic. A whole pandemic and y'all rest of fear. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into all of that, B. All of that, B. But first, you know, we got to start this thing off right with that HBCU spot. Start this thing off right, HBCU spotlight, light. Yes, sir. Oh, I missed that football. Pack the ball, boy. Pack the ball. Do a little something like this for that HBCU spotlight. I used to, when I was in middle school, I had this Coach Lamb. He didn't say hike the ball. Boy, hack the ball, boy. Man, I done told you to hack the ball. Boy, hack the thing on ball. Hack the ball. And he used to spit when he talked. Boy, hack that ball. Boy, what you doing? Boy, hack the ball, man. Come on, man. Patrick Irv, you went to the same middle school as I do. You know who Coach Lamb. Hack that ball, boy. All right, so North Carolina Central's Brian Mills accepts a bid to play in this year's Senior Bowl. Really going down inside. So, with North Carolina Central University senior cornerback Brian Mills accepted an invitation to participate in the recent Senior Bowl on Wednesday, he became just the third North Carolina Central University Eagle in school history to earn an invitation to the nation's most prestigious college football all-star game. Mills, a native of Palmdale, California, joins former NFL Pro Bowl selections Doug Wilkerson, 1970, and Robert Massey, 1989, as the only NCCU representatives invited to play in the Senior Bowl. The recent Senior Bowl is scheduled for January 30th in 2021 at the University of South Alabama, inside Hancock Whitney Stadium. The annual event showcases the best NFL draft prospects among players who have completed their college eligibility. In the past 2 years, 93 players from recent Senior Bowl have been selected in the NFL draft. The recent Senior Bowl distinguishes itself from other All-Star games by having two full NFL coaching staffs. Last year, the two teams were coached by the Detroit Lions and the Cincinnati Bengals and were more than 900 credentialed NFL personnel in Mobile, Alabama for game week. Brian Mills was voted as a 2019 first-team All-MEAC honoree and selected to the AFCA Football Championship Subdivision Coaches All-American Team and Box Store All-American Team in his first season at NCCU after transferring from the College of Canes. Mills led the conference with 5 interceptions and ranked 2nd in the MEAC with 13 passes defended. He also accounted for 22 tackles bowling. Also during his junior campaign in 2019, the cornerback tied the NCCU record for interceptions in the game with 3 picks, including 2 on throws to the end zone to prevent touchdowns at Morgan State on September 28th, earning recognition as MEAC Defensive Player of the Week, Box Throw National Player of the Week, and Stats FCS National Defensive Player of the Week. Mills also grabbed the game-saving walk-off interception inside the 5-yard line against Delaware State on October 26th. In April, Mills was placed on a list of top HBCU prospects for the 2021 NFL Draft by Draft Diamonds. With the support of NCCU coaching staff, the highly touted cornerback has opted to forego his senior season in order to pursue his NFL aspirations. Oh, my dog. One time, Mills. I see you, Mr. Mills, out there doing your thing, man. 3 picks in the game, 2 in the end zone, the game-winning pick. I see you, Mr. Mills, out there doing this thing for North Carolina Central University. So January, they said they're going to play the Senior Bowl on January 30th, and it's probably been on ESPN on January 30th. So we got to tune in to watch Mr. Mills, Mr. Brian Mills, do his thing in the Senior Bowl after balling out in his sophomore season and balling out in his junior season at North Carolina Central University. He's taking his talents to the next level, you heard me? And we don't even blame him. So with that being said, I want everybody to put y'all hands together and celebrate Mr. Brian Mills for making that Senior Bowl. That boy made that Senior Bowl. Got that AARP. Yeah. I'm a senior in bowl. So he's gonna be a junior in the Senior Bowl. One time for Mr. Mill, Brian Mills. All right, man. So this young lady went from Hooper to Arthur. And she said, I ain't slowing down or looking back. I'm out here to ball out, yo. So, according to a website article, 80% of African Americans aspire to pen a book and get it published within their lifetime. Few actually start or finish. However, Breisha Byrd bucked the odds, and she's only 18 years old. One time for Breisha Byrd joining our Arthur Clique. One time, we welcome you open arms in the Arthur Club. You heard me? I got 3 books. I done wrote 3 books, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. www.ontheshoulders1.com. Go get your copies. Matter of fact, today is the last day of the book sale, of the On the Shoulders of Giants book bundle sale. go to www.ontheshoulders1.com, type in the code OTSOGA4. This Monday is the last day to get it. 12 a.m. Tuesday is over, so you hear me? So a basketball student athlete at St. Augustine's University, Bird, is talented way beyond the basketball court. She is a published author and a motivational speaker. I have a dream! Some people think you have to be 40 or 50 or 60 to become an author. Why not now, said Bird, who majors in business administration. You heard me. The title is Self-Love. Love Self, a 33-page inspirational book for females. Its purpose is to uplift young girls and women in the journey of self-love. The book's inspiration comes from Bird's parents, Brenton and Shanique, her brother, Braden, and a higher power. All right, now hallelujah, want to do it. God gave me the vision and my family supported me, Bird said. We live in a world where there is so much negativity. I want girls to know they are beautiful inside and out and that they have self-worth. Hallelujah, baby. I see. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. Their worth isn't based on what others think. Nah, but that's real. I'm clowning, but that's real, though. I feel her. I feel what she's doing. She's doing it for young women. She's doing it for women, period. So, stuff like that is needed, and that's why The Fix exists, to make sure we promote people like Miss Bird. So, Miss Lola Lakes is the main fictional character, and much of her life is based on Bird's past experiences and what she has seen others experience. Bird was picked on and lost confidence, only to regain her self-esteem with help from her parents. She now oozes with confidence and wants to empower other females. All right. So, growing up, I've been through a lot as far as learning to love me, Bird said. My self-awareness and self-worth were evident at an early age, and some people didn't know how to deal with me. My mindset was completely different. I saw things for what it was and called them out on it. I wouldn't comply to what everybody else thought. They couldn't put me in a box. Hey, don't ever, 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 ever let somebody put you in a box. Don't you even put yourself in a box. We were put here to be free, roam free, and accomplish and live our dreams, man. So my parents always say, tell my story. I love writing, so why not, said Bird, who wrote songs and poems at 7 years old. I want to be a positive difference. That book will always last forever, even when I'm gone. That's what I'm talking about. So this is a pretty long article, but her name is Bresha Bird. You spell it B-R-E apostrophe C-H-A-B-Y-R-D. Bresha Bird. And the name of her book is Self-Love, Love Self. So go check it out. Self-Love, Love Self by Bresha Bird. One more time for your mind. That's what's up, man. St. Augustine University, Bresha Bird, 18 years old, freshman. She's now a published author. So, you know, y'all got to go ahead and put y'all goddamn hands together for Bresha Bird. And I don't need y'all to clap like y'all mean it. That clap needs to come from your diaphragm. Feel that thing down in your soul. What time for Bresha? Write that thing. Girl, you got thoughts. Won't you write them things down? You've been through challenges, write them things down. You're balling out of life, don't you write them things down. Don't let nobody hold you back, write them things down. You heard me? So, Bresha Bird, one time, congratulations as well on becoming an author. And definitely wish you much success. So, that there wraps up my HBCU spotlight. So, once again, shout out to Brian Mills and Miss Bresha Bird. Bresha Bird. Bird, let's end this thing. Right. Yeah. Break it down. Woo. I was we did it. That's what I'm like that. for that HBCU spotlight. All right, HBCU news. Once again, Prime is in the news. Prime time, Deion Sanders. Deion Aldarius Sanders. I don't know what his middle name is. I just gave him a middle name of Al. Well, nah, he too old. Deion too old. Not saying Deion is an old man, but Deion is too old to have a middle name like Aldarius. I bet you it's probably Leroy. Deion Leroy Sanders. A Clifford. A Clarence. That's about right. Deion Clarence Sanders. So he just picked up a commitment, right, from his alma mater, according to this article. So former Florida State wide receiver and defensive back Isaiah Bolden is the latest former Power 5 player to commit to Jackson State University. He announces his commitment Tuesday on Twitter. So, Bolden entered the transfer portal back in mid-September, just days before Sanders was hired as coach at Jackson State University. The former Seminole played on both sides of the ball in Tallahassee. The Tampa Bay product was a four-star recruit out of Wesley Chapel High School. He originally committed to Oregon to play for Willie Taggart, then switched to FSU when Taggart was hired in 2018. After redshirting in 2018, Bolden played defensive back as a redshirt freshman last year. He made 9 tackles, 2 pass breakups, and had an interception last year. He was switched to wide receiver after Taggart's departure, appearing in FSU's season opener. He joins a JSU program that just picked up a commitment from Niles Gaddy, a former Tennessee linebacker. Sanders' first commitment was former Mississippi State defensive back Javarius Selman. Deion Sanders and company have had a big week overall. Shedeur Sanders, Deion's son, flipped to JSU after initially committing to Taggart at FAU. 3-star athlete Herman Smith from California committed on the same day. So Deion, and like I said last week, look, it's Deion Sanders. Deion, everybody know Deion got a pipeline to the league. So playing for Deion Sanders at Jackson State is a bit different from playing for, say, a Willie Simmons at Florida A&M University. Willie Simmons has NFL ties, but Willie Simmons don't have a quarter of the NFL ties that Deion Sanders has. Like, Deion Sanders is one of the players who was bigger than the Shield when he played. And Deion Sanders is still a big personality today. Look at, we're talking about Jackson State. Look at what we're talking about it. The fact that we're talking about it, the Deion effect is happening. All Deion got to do is win. Deion could change the landscape. He could be the coach who helped usher in a new day for black college football if he's able to win. If he's able to get the talent and win and get those boys drafted, college football about to look different. So we're definitely rooting for Deion. But remember, it's all predicated on him winning. It is all predicated on him winning. And if Deion is winning, it's gonna be lovely, man. It's gonna be lovely. Black college football gonna be a whole different brand of football, a whole different level of football, because the type of talent that will be playing black college football. And stud of them boys going to Mississippi State, Arkansas, you know, schools like that, San Jose State, they'll go to Jackson State, they go to FAMU, they go to Southern, they go to Grambling, they go to Bethune-Cookman, they go to North Carolina A&T, go to Hampton, Howard, Norfolk State, you know, then the list goes on. Prairie View, A&M, the list goes on. So I hope Deion is successful, because it is a business. College football is a business, and it's all predicated on him winning. And Jackson State really wasn't that good. So he has to get talent in there. And I do believe that Deion Sanders is a big enough name. Matter of fact, we know Deion Sanders is a big enough name to get top-tier 4- and 5-star talent at Jackson State and then be able to get them boys to the league, because NFL scouts are going to come to Jackson State. NFL ties going to be at Jackson State. So there it is. So that's that. That's that HBCU news, man. So let's talk about breaking records. You heard me? I broke a record for the most chest hairs to not be in one spot. That's on my chest. I got 45 chest hairs, and not one of them are in a concise pattern anywhere. They just spotted all over the place. My chest hair look like a bunch of missing kids who looking for their parents, just roaming around all over the place in opposite directions and stuff, or a bunch of ants when you pour water on them. They just go to running around. That's what my chest hair look like. So that's historic. But enough about my chest hair. Let's talk about my new homeboy, Lewis Hamilton, who is within, this is episode 6. So within the last 6 weeks, he's made the fix twice. You heard me? So, like I said, he wins a record-tying 7th world title. So Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton won a record-tying 7th world title, a 7th world championship title on Sunday. After the victory, Formula One's only black driver said he has walked this sport alone and wants to continue to push for equality in the racing circuit. Hey, bro, somebody got to be the pioneer. Somebody got to be the bushwhacker, right? Somebody got to do it, right? And y'all know when black folk, when we get a hold of stuff, we take it over. So he's kicked that door open, Lou. Kicked that door. So the latest championship trophy puts Hamilton in the exclusive company of sports legend Michael Schumacher, who also has 7 titles. After his 94th Grand Prix victory at the Turkish Grand Prix, the 35-year-old Briton reflected on the significance of being one of S1's most powerful voices among racism and the top driver in the sport. I'm not even going to try an English accent, because, you know, usually I try to talk in their voice. I'm not even going to try an English accent with this. So just imagine him being from just imagine a dude in London with a southern voice from Florida. So it's obviously no secret that I've really walked this sport alone as the only black person here, the only one. It's a really interesting point. The fact is, I'm biracial, and I think this color isn't what people should read about. True, they should read about your accomplishments, but we all going to celebrate you being a black dude, we're going to celebrate a person of African descent, person who has blackness in them, who balling out here, because that's what the fix is made for, right? So when I was younger, I didn't have anybody in the sport that looked like me, he added. And also, it was easy to think that it's not possible to be there because nobody of your color has been there. You don't see any black people on TV that are in Formula One, right? But I think hopefully this sends a message to the kids that are watching. Hopefully they see the performance today, and hopefully they can see that it doesn't matter where you come from, whatever your background, and I think that's so important to dream big. The aftermath of the George Floyd's police custody death in the U.S., Hamilton was a vocal supporter of Black Lives Matter. He has knelt on one knee as a nod to Colin Kaepernick's protest and wore a T-shirt calling for justice for Breonna Taylor. He also applauded Formula One for creating the hashtag #WeAsRace, creating the hashtag #WeRacesOne initiative to address inequality and racism, and for making strides to become a more diverse and inclusive sport. Of course, y'all know I can go deep in on that and call it hypocrisy in NASCAR, but I ain't gonna do that. Hamilton endured a difficult road to become a superstar in Formula One. He said, he has said his family had no money, and his father worked 4 jobs at one point to keep him racing as a youngster. In an Instagram post following the race, he talked about his ultimate purpose and how there's another race yet, how there's another race we've yet to win. Hey, so it's another obstacle, bitch. It's oppression ain't ended. This year, I've been driven not just by my desire to win on the track, but by a desire to help push our sport and our world to become a more diverse and inclusive. Okay, I promise you, I am not going to stop fighting for change. We have a long way to go, but I will continue to push for equality within our sport and within the greater wide world that we live in. You heard me? A driving force for me this year has been to set an example for the next generation to never give up on your dreams, he added. I was told by many that my dream was impossible, yet here I am. I want you to know that you can do it too. Straight up. Straight up. So, Lewis Hamilton, man, salute to you, my brother. And, hey, man, y'all go ahead and put your hands together for Lewis Hamilton on winning his 7th world title. 7th Formula One world title, baby. Really going down. He tied Michael Schumacher. I'm sure he's going to break that. And for his 94th victory, another record continuing it. Lewis Hamilton, baby. Get your mind right. The NASCAR takeover is on. The racing takeover is on. But shout out to Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace, Lewis Hamilton. Hey, it's really going down. It's happening. It's happening. We're taking over all the sports, all the business of sports, because that's the next frontier, is for black people to take over the business of sports. Once we start to take over the business of sports, oh man, we end up like a thong on a big person. You hear me? We end up like tight draws in your ass. You hear me? So that's what's up. That is what's up. Now let's move this thing. Let's move this thing on. Because Saturday night, it was a fight. I said Saturday night, it was a fight. Hey, hey, hey. And I ain't talking about nobody who got shook. I'm talking about somebody who got the ass whoop. Somebody got the ass whoop. Somebody got the ass whoop. Saturday night. So, first, I know I just sung my song. And I always sang my song with somebody get that whoop. But first, I want to give a shout out to Kell Brook. Kell Brook ain't soft. So, Kell Brook ain't no punk. And Kell Brook do got some hands. Kell Brook got them hands. He got hands. But when you get hit in the face like Buddy got hit in the face in the fourth round, you going down. And Terrence Bud Crawford, who is the pound for pound best fighter in the world, showed once again why he's pound for pound the best fighter in the world. And it was magnificent. It was good because early in the fight, like the first round, Kell Brook came out. They both came out slow, and Terrence Crawford is a notorious slow starter, right? He's a notorious slow starter, so they both came out feeling each other. It took them about a minute to throw punches. They were doing their thing, just feeling each other out, head fake right, head fake left, head fake. No, and then, so Kell Brook kind of started letting them go a little bit, and Terrence Crawford then really started letting them things go to like mid-second, third round, and so Kell Brook was in the fight. It was a competitive fight in the beginning. So the first round and the second round, it was a competitive fight. The third round, you can see I start to turn, and Terrence Crawford switching back between orthodox and southpaw, But once Terrence Crawford came out in the orthodox fighting stance, and Kell Brook was able to use his jab a bit more effectively when Terrence Crawford was in the orthodox fighting stance. So when he jabbing with his left and his right hand is his power hand, right? But then Terrence Crawford switched it up. He switched to the southpaw, which is his right hand is the jab and his left hand is the power hand. So Terrence Crawford, though, has power in both hands, right? So come round that latter half of that, or that third round, even that latter half of that third round, you can see the tide starting to turn, and Terrence Crawford starting to get Buddy and tee off on Buddy, even though Kell Brook was catching him with some shots, especially early on, but he was catching Bud with some shots. But you can see that, all right, Terrence Crawford has found the comfort zone. He's found the spot. And he was at a better position. The fight was a little less competitive at that point, right? First two rounds, fight is competitive. Kell Brook he's throwing combinations, he's throwing jabs, he's able to connect and land his punches. Though he's not hurting Terrence Crawford, he's connecting and he's scoring. And you can start seeing a little bit of swelling come around Terrence Crawford's left eye, up under the eye. Because Kell Brook caught him with a couple straight rights. Bam, right down the pipe. He caught him a couple times, right? So Kell Brook was in there. He was in there. It was competitive, right? Then that third round came, and everything changed. Of course, Crawford feeling himself in his southpaw stance. Kell Brook is not really able to get that jab off, but you know, he still has some, he still got his offense though, but he can't get that jab off. So Terrence Crawford is taking more control of the fight and taking more control of the fight. And then the fourth round happened. Terrence Crawford is in complete control of the fight, even though Kell Brook still throwing off some shots and every now and then catching them. But Terrence Crawford is in full control of the fight. And then he messed around and bam, threw that right down the pipe. Let me play this thing. I don't know if you can hear it, but bam. Ooh, woo. Hey. So let me start it back. Hold on. Let me take it back. So at this point, they're in the middle of the ring and they're posturing. They're both looking for shots. Bam, I hit play. So they're both posturing looking for shots. Kell Brook goes to throw a right hand, and Terrence Crawford caught his ass with a right hand. Bam! Right down the pipe. Kell Brook stumbles into the ropes, and, you know, so Terrence Crawford go and scruff him up a little bit. Then it's a standing eight count. They come back out to the middle of the ring, posturing again. Terrence Crawford looking for his shot. Bam! Hit him with that left, hit him with the right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, and the referee came in and stopped it. Straight up. So let me take you back through it. So they're in the middle of the ring, posturing, looking for their shots. Kell Brook threw a right hand. Terrence Crawford, when he threw that right hand, that left came down a bit. Terrence Crawford popped his ass with that straight right. Kell Brook stumbled into the ropes. Terrence Crawford came back, scrubbed his ass up a bit. Bam, the referee pulled him off, separate. Standing eight count. Hey, man, you good. He got him back. They went back out. Terrence Crawford looking for that shot again. He threw that left. He threw a left hook. Caught him a bit. Brook folded up. And he just unloaded on him. And then at that point, you can see that Brook isn't defending himself anymore. So the fight is over. Terrence Crawford then won. And he stared him down too. Yeah, boy. So now one thing I did respect about Brook is Brook didn't. When they did the post-fight interview, Brook wasn't one of the ones, man. They stopped the fight too early. Now, Brook acknowledged that he got me, and I wasn't fighting back. I wasn't defending myself. So that's why the referee stopped the fight, and the better man won the fight. So I respect that from Kell Brook. But the skill of Terrence Crawford, the flash, the everything that he brings to the fight, this is why he's the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world. Like, he just destroyed his opponent in the fourth round. And Kell Brook is the same opponent that Errol Spence. It took him 11 rounds to defeat. And I'm saying that because the next fighters that they're looking at for Terrence Crawford to fight is either Manny Pacquiao or Errol Spence. And I believe Crawford would beat both of them. I just, like, Manny, yeah, Manny still got some things in the tank, but Manny ain't Manny what Manny used to be, and I don't think Manny is on the level right now of what Terrence Crawford is. I don't think Manny could beat Crawford right now, and I don't think Errol Spence could beat Crawford right now. Both Pacquiao and Spence got power, and they can drop a motherfucker. They can't. But I don't think that either one of them would beat Terrence Crawford at this point. Terrence Crawford, I mean, pound for pound, the best fighter in the world, especially now, since Vasily Lomachenko, they got his ass whooped. See that transition? Y'all seen that transition? Arrgh! Seen that? So, Teofimo Lopez Jr. upsets Vasily Lomachenko in October. I'm late, but it happened in October, and he claimed the undisputed lightweight crown. So, I didn't see the fight. I didn't really see the fight, but I heard about it, so I'm going to read you some of the information about it. And I'm looking at the scorecard, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So Lopez won 7 rounds, and it went 10 rounds. So So for nearly 2 years, to anyone willing to hear it, Teofimo Lopez Jr. and his father trainer have said the 23-year-old brass slugger was ready to take over the sport. It turns out they were right. Because when you beat the dude who was previously considered pound for pound the best, Lomachenko, now people looking at you, right? So Lopez is 16-0 with 12 knockouts, held off a furious rally from pound for pound rank Vasily Lomachenko, who is now 14-2, to score an upset victory by unanimous decision on Saturday, and that was Saturday in October, to unify all four lightweight titles inside the MGM Grand Conference Center in Las Vegas. Lopez, the IBF title holder, unified the WBA, WBO, and WBC titles from Lomachenko. Whooped his ass, took all his belts, right? The judges scored at 116-112, 119-109, and 117-113. So I guess it did go 12. So what I was looking at earlier wasn't even right. So Lopez is a native of Brooklyn, New York. And CBS Sports also scored it 116-112. It's the takeover, Lopez said, referencing both his nickname and common catchphrase. It's time for the new generation to come up, and it's time for me to lead the way for everybody. Hey, man, you know, that's how you feel, bro. That's how you feel. Although it was expected that Lopez's long shot at victory would come through a knockout, the biggest upset on this night was that he largely outboxed the best pure boxer in the world and Lomachenko to get the victory. And that I push back on, that Lomachenko is the best pure boxer in the world. Lomachenko has an unorthodox style, a funky style that he uses, but Lomachenko's defense ain't that damn good, right? So if we're going to call him the best boxer in the world, like, his defense got to be a whole lot better. And Lomachenko can't take a punch. So you can get your hits off on Lomachenko. So they call him the best pure boxer. I mean, and he is a pure boxer, one of the best. But I don't know if he was the best. I still, Terrence Crawford, still, you know, better than that, pure boxer. Despite the gap in the experience coming in, Lopez's speed and pinpoint accuracy forced the 32-year-old Lomachenko into a shell that he didn't come out of until the second half of the fight. Although Lomachenko's defense was on point throughout, the former two-time Olympic gold medalist looked rusty following a 14-month layoff and felt enough of Lopez's power early to prevent him from coming forward when the younger fighter was fresh. After, thank God, I had to dig deep, Lopez said, I am thankful, I am grateful, and each and every day I take it in, I walk by faith for a reason, and it feels good. Lopez outlanded Lomachenko by a margin of 183-141, according to CompuBox. He also did well to hold off a late surge from Lomachenko, as it was obvious that Lopez was visibly tired. Honestly, it was just to keep pressuring him. That's all you have to do, use the jab and never give him the opportunity to set up, Lopez said. Every time he wanted to throw, I had something for him to break his momentum. He was coming off a 14-month layoff, and I knew it was going to take him a long time to catch up. Although a dejected Lomachenko left the ring immediately after the decision was read, he connected on 45% of his power punches overall and became the aggressor in the final five rounds of the fight. Lomachenko appeared on his way to winning the final round by getting off first with clean combinations until Lopez hurt him with the left hook and continued to pile on power shots of his own until the final bell. I'm a fighter. I've got to dig in deep. I can't give him that, Lopez said of the final round. I don't know if they have him close on the scores or not. I have to fight, and I can bang too. I don't care. I take one to give one, and that's what a true champion does. I find a way to come out and win. So Lopez became the first fighter in the four-belt era to become an undisputed champion at lightweight. With his body still growing, he wasn't sure after the fight exactly where he might go next. Take me to 140 or I can go fight Devin Haney if I want that. So that's what Lopez said. So let me look at this again from the sideways. Okay, so Lopez won the first round, second round, third round. Lomachenko won the fourth round. Lopez won the fifth round, sixth round, seventh round, eighth round. And Lomachenko won the 9th round, 10th round, 11th round, and then Lopez won the 12th round. So, yeah, so Lopez won 8 of the 12 rounds to get that victory over Lomachenko and is now the undisputed champion, light heavyweight champion. The only four-belt champion in history. Undisputed light heavyweight champion. So, one time for Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo! All right. Cause the boys is out there trading punches. Speaking of trading, Chris Paul has been traded in principle to the Phoenix Suns. So the Oklahoma City Thunder earlier today, agreed in principle to trade Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns out there with that boy Devin Booker. So the Phoenix Suns have agreed in principle on a deal to acquire Oklahoma City Thunder all-star guard Chris Paul, sources told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The deal sends Paul and Abdel Nader to the Suns for Kelly O'Rourke and Ricky Rubio, Ty Jerome, Jalen Lecque, and a 2020 first-round pick, sources told ESPN. Suns owner Robert Sarver is bringing the future Hall of Fame guard and franchise leader to Phoenix, delivering star Devin Booker a running mate. After finishing last season by going 8-0 in the bubble and establishing momentum, the Suns suddenly are set to become a factor in the Western Conference this season. Hopefully. ESPN Bobby Marks reports that in a cost-saving measure, the Suns could elect to hold off on the trade until the moratorium is lifted on Sunday. That will allow the Suns to use salary cap space first and circle back, acting like a team over the cap. So Chris Paul is he's younger than me. He's 35. We'll reunite with Suns coach Monty Williams, who coached the point guard for one season in New Orleans. That was in 2010-2011. The team went 46-36 that season and lost in the first round of the playoffs. His basketball mind, Paul said of Williams in December, I used to get so excited before games about the plays he was drawing up. Paul was acquired by the Thunder last summer from the Houston Rockets in exchange for Russell Westbrook, two future first-round picks and two pick swaps. By adding another future first-rounder, it increases the haul for Westbrook to three first plus pick swaps along with one successful year with Paul. All right, so, well, yada, 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 yada. So the Phoenix Suns look like they are looking to get better. And the Oklahoma City Thunder may be looking like they are rebuilding. So that's why they shipped Chris Paul out. They want to rebuild some things. But, hey, Chris Paul is a Phoenix Sun. Like I said, we also heard trade rumors of James Harden maybe going to Brooklyn to play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Now, if James Harden ends up with the Brooklyn Nets, that's the team that's going to come out of the East. Straight up. Because Kevin Durant, especially if them boys can figure out a way to really, like, share that ball. All right, first of all, Kyrie Irving, you the third scoring option. As of right now, going into this, if James Harden goes to Brooklyn, he's the number one scoring option coming into this season. Because we got to see what Kevin Durant is going to be. Now, if Kevin Durant is healthy, then, you know, Kevin Durant is obviously your first scoring option, then James Harden, and then Kyrie Irving, and everybody after that. But I would be more interested in seeing what type of coaching job Steve Kerr does. I mean, not Steve Kerr, but Steve Nash does. Also, there were talks about DeMar DeRozan maybe being traded to the Lakers. And then I read today that there were talks about Dennis Schroeder maybe being traded to the Lakers. Either way, get rid of Danny Green, get rid of Kyle Kuzma. Either way, them two boys got to go. Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma got to go. All right? Especially if y'all going to repeat in this Western Conference that's coming up, in this season that's coming up. Remember, you already got, well, we're going we're going to see what happened with the Clippers. But if the Clippers, I don't know if we can count the Clippers. But let's just say you got the Clippers, right? You're going to have Clippers, Lakers. You got the Mavericks who looking. You still got them Trailblazers. You got the Denver Nuggets. You got the Utah Jazz. Maybe the Rockets. If they don't break it up, maybe. If they don't break it up, we're going to see what the Suns do. And then in the East, let's say if James Harden does go to the Nets, then you have the Nets, you have the Raptors, you have the Milwaukee Bucks, you have the Miami Heat, you will have maybe Philly. We're going to see what happens with Philly, but they should be better. So each conference got some teams, got some horses, but we're going to see how the landscape turns out to be. And if James Harden will really go to the Nets. I had a brain fart real quick. We'll see if James Harden actually go to the Nets or James Harden stay his ass in Houston. Because they also talk about trade rumors with Russell Westbrook. Talking about maybe getting Russell Westbrook the hell up out of there. But Russell Westbrook got a $130 million contract that people may or may not want to rock. We're going to see. But that's the latest news, trade news. And thing. I think that the trade period has opened up. So now remember, the NBA draft is on Wednesday. So this Wednesday, 2 days from now, this Wednesday, the NBA draft is happening. So make sure you are ready for that and down for that. So, but that's what's happening in the NBA as far as trade rumors. Or trades that have happened as well. All right, so let's transition to give you a rundown on the winners and losers from this past week in college football, as well as the NFL, with the understanding of Monday Night Football happening tonight. So let's start with number 7, Cincinnati Bearcats. Shout out to Jay Murphy. Shout out to George Murray. So the Cincinnati Bearcats dropped their nuts on East Carolina, and Cincinnati is ranked number 7, but Cincinnati dropped their nuts on East Carolina with a 55-17 COVID-free victory. Number 15, Marshall decided to drop some nuts on Middle Tennessee State with a 42-14 COVID-free victory, hopefully. Now, an exciting game from this past weekend was number 12, Miami, with a 7-1 record versus Virginia Tech with a 4-4 record, and Miami actually gets the comeback victory over Virginia Tech to win 25-24. So Virginia Tech took an early lead in the first quarter, and so the first quarter ended with Virginia Tech with a 7-3 lead. Then come in the second quarter, Virginia Tech scores again, so bam, the score is 14-3. And Miami put up 10 points in the second quarter, so bam, scored 13-14, right? So it was a close game the whole time. Then come the third quarter, Virginia Tech put up 10 points. They got 10 points in the third quarter, so now they're up 24-13. So, bam, Miami in that same third quarter get 6 points. And then Miami in the fourth quarter, 6 points. Give them that comeback late 25-24 victory. So our homeboy De'Aaron King went 24-38, 255 yards, 1 touchdown, 0 picks. Great, great, great. Harris had 14 carries for 63 yards and a touchdown. De'Aaron King had 18 carries for 15 yards and 1 touchdown. As far as receivers, D. Wiggins had 8 receptions, 106 yards. And Pope, number 6, Pope had 4 receptions for 50 yards and a touchdown. That was that. So Liberty beat, who's WCU? Who the hell is WCU? Western Carolina? Well, anyway, Liberty beat WCU. I don't know if that's Western Carolina, maybe Western Carolina, but they opened up their asshole on them and beat them 58-14. Michigan State lost again And Michigan State is now 1-3 on the year. They got blew out by Indiana. Indiana pissed on all on them, 24-0. And Indiana is number 9 in the country right about now. Everybody beat Michigan State. Everybody, Michigan State getting the train ran on them by the Big Ten. Let that sink in. Yes, Michigan State University is getting the train ran on them right now by the Big Ten. Number 24, Louisiana Lafayette got a 38-10 victory over South Alabama. Number 20, USC, Southern California, they beat Arizona 34-30. What's USC's record? They are 2-0 right now on the year. Early season, young season for USC. And no, number 2, Notre Dame continue their winning ways with the 45-31 victory over Boston College. Number 19, Northwestern beat Purdue 27-20. 25, Tulsa beat SMU 28-24. Number 11, Oregon beat Washington State 43-29. Number 6, Florida walked the dog on Arkansas 63-35. Felipe Franks is the quarterback for Arkansas this year. Arkansas had a couple touchdowns. Felipe Franks caught them with a couple deep bombs and stuff, but for the most part, yeah, nah. Arkansas has a real nice running game. Florida's defense is suspect, right? But Felipe Franks went 15-19, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 picks, which is good. For Florida, Kyle Trask went, hey, man, hey, this is not even fair. This is laughable and not even fair what Kyle Trask out here doing to these boys, man. In the SEC, man. Mind you, in the SEC. Kyle Trask went 23-29, 356 yards, and 6 touchdowns. I'm going to say it again. Kyle Trask only had 6 incompletions on the day. Through 29 passes, only 6 incompletions, 23 completions, 356 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Amazing. One time for Kyle Trask got that balling, man. Even the backup quarterback came in and went 4-7, 29 yards, and the touchdown. I'm just saying, man. The Gators, man. So who all caught a touchdown? T. Grimes caught 2 touchdowns. He had 6 receptions, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. Henderson, 3 catches, 62 yards, and a touchdown. Zipperer, 3 catches, 47 yards, 2 touchdowns. Copeland, 1 catch, 33 yards, and a touchdown. Shorter, 1 catch, 21 yards, and a touchdown. And their most dangerous player, Tony, yeah, 7 catches, 57 yards. So, hey, man, the Gators ain't playing. So, Florida's fate is within their hands. Let me see if I can find that remaining schedule. Florida's fate is within their hands. It's up to them if they actually want to go to the SEC championship. It's really up to them. It's up to Florida if they want to go to the SEC championship or not to probably play Alabama. And because I believe that Florida can beat Alabama, even though I believe Bama could beat Florida, I believe Florida has the firepower to beat Alabama. So we're going to see if either Florida or Alabama really want it. Because right now, Florida is in the driver's seat in the SEC East, and Alabama is in their usual driver's seat in SEC West. So around out the top 10, Wisconsin beat Michigan 49-11. And Michigan, like the in-state rival, Michigan State, is getting the train ran on them by the rest of the Big Ten as well. So Michigan on one end, it's in one room getting the train ran on them, and Michigan State is in another room getting the train ran on them. Whoop-dee-doo, right? Hey, man, the state of Michigan, I don't know what to tell y'all. I have no idea what to tell y'all. So we had a number of games postponed due to COVID concerns. So keep that in mind as well, because a lot of teams I did not call out for last week. So upcoming games we got this week, Florida Vanderbilt, Clemson, Florida State, Indiana, Ohio State. It's going to be a good one. Wisconsin, Northwestern. Alabama play Kentucky. Auburn play Tennessee. Oklahoma versus Oklahoma State. Mississippi State and Georgia. So those are upcoming games for the next week to look out for. So now, what the hell happened yesterday in the NFL? Let's see. Please shine, please shine. Come on, man. I ain't tell you to do all this, man. Just give me the games, man. All right, so. So, of course, you know the week started off Thursday Night Football. So, Thursday Night Football had the Colts versus the Titans, and the Colts actually got the 34-17 victory over the Titans, and the Colts are 6-3 on the year. First year with Phillip Rivers being their quarterback. Phillip Rivers actually went 29-39, 308 yards, one touchdown, and no picks. So that's great. That was a good showing for Phillip Rivers. Outside looking in, you would think it's the illusion or the assumption that Phillip Rivers is washed up and the Colts are not good, but they're actually 6-3 on the year. And they beat the Titans. And the Titans are 6-3 on the year as well. So let's see. They held, well, Derrick Henry had 103 rushing yards, but he didn't score. He only had 19 carries, 103 yards, and he didn't score. So the Cleveland Browns beat the Texans 10-7. Deshaun Watson went 20 for 30, 163 yards, one touchdown, no pick. Baker Mayfield went 12 for 20, 132 yards, and no pick. That ain't that good. So, but they got the victory. The Lions beat the Washington Hellones 30-27. The Buccaneers, old Tom Brady versus Teddy Bridgewater. But the Bucs get a 46-23 victory over the Panthers. And the Bucs, they should be sitting second to the Saints in the NFC South. I got to go see what the Saints' overall record is, but the Saints have beat the Bucs twice this year. But old Thomas F. Brady went 28-39. 340 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. Teddy Bridgewater went 18 for 24, 136 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. Christian McCaffrey did not play. So, the Eagles played the Giants, and the Giants got a 27-17 victory. The Packers played the Jaguars. The Packers beat the Jaguars 34-20. That boy Aaron Rodgers went 24-34, 325 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. Throwing a pinpoint accurate throw. Aaron Rodgers, the only quarterback I've ever seen who throw a football and make it look like he's throwing darts. An exciting finish now. The Cardinals got a 32-30 victory over the Bills, and I was actually watching this game last night, and the Cardinals got a last-minute victory as Kyler Murray avoided a sack, scrambled out of the pocket, threw the ball downfield, and DeAndre Hopkins mossed about three or four different people to come down with the game-winning touchdown. And the crowd goes wild. Kyler Murray went 22 for 32, 245 yards, one touchdown and one pick. And I must say, Kyler Murray is a better NFL quarterback than I expected. DeAndre Hopkins had seven receptions, 127 yards, and one touchdown. So, moving on, the Dolphins beat the Chargers 29-21. So, this is another victory for Tua Tagovailoa. So Justin Herbert, the rookie quarterback for the Chargers, went 20 for 32, 187 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Tua Tagovailoa went 15 for 25, 169 yards, and two touchdowns, but got the victory. And Tua didn't throw an interception. Justin Herbert threw one interception. But the Dolphins got that win. The Raiders beat the Broncos 37-12, and that put the Raiders at 6-3 on the year, who are looking pretty damn good. Maybe John Gruden's long-term plan was smarter than what we think. We don't know. The Seahawks lost to the Rams 16-23. Steelers beat their rivals, the Bengals, 36-10. Ben Roethlisberger Well, Joe Burrow first. Joe, man, they be throwing the hell out of that ball in goddamn Cincinnati, man. So Joe Burrow went 21 for 40, 213 yards and one touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger went 27 for 46, 333 yards and four touchdowns. 49ers lost to the Saints, 27-13. So the Saints are 7-2 on the year. So the Saints are in a strong lead in the NFC South. And the 49ers, they lost, but their overall record is 4-6. So Drew Brees went and that boy Jimmy Garoppolo is hurt for the 49ers. But Drew Brees, well, damn. Drew Brees went 18. He went 8 for 13, 76 yards and a touchdown. I think he might have got hurt a bit. Then Jameis Winston came in, went 6 for 10, 63 yards. The Patriots actually beat the Ravens last night, Sunday Night Football. The Patriots beat the Ravens 23-17. Lamar Jackson went 24 for 34, 249 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. By that boy Cam Newton went 13 for 17, 118 yards, and one touchdown. So the Patriots be running the hell out of that ball. But the Patriots got the victory. And they're 4-5 on the year, and the Ravens are 6-3 on the year. And so tonight we got the Vikings versus the Bears. Make sure y'all check it out. Check that thing out. All right, so transition. Talking about NASCAR again. Somebody done fucked up. Who was it? So Josh Roomate. I'm going to say roommate. Room. So NASCAR officials announced, that boy named Josh, NASCAR officials announced Tuesday that they have issued an indefinite suspension to Josh Roomate, or Josh Room, a driver and team owner in the Grander RV and Outdoors Truck Series, right? Room, or Roomate, was indefinitely barred for violating sections 12.1 and 12.8.1.E in the NASCAR rule book. Boy, you got to read that down to the E, boy. You read 12.8.1, but you ain't read 12.8.1.E. NASCAR officials confirmed that the behavioral penalty stemmed from a recent post Roomate made on social media without revealing the specific nature of its content. Well, why you ain't tell us? How you going to halfway tell us and don't tell us? Tell us. So the rule books, Section 12.1 involves general disciplinary action, while 12.8.1.E concerns specific items regarding NASCAR member conduct. Those conduct guidelines include details for violations through public statement and or communications that criticizes, ridicules, or otherwise disparages another person based upon that person's race, color, creed, national origin, gender, sexual orientation, marital status, religion, age, or handicapping condition. And room, or roommate, you fucked up. The room, a roommate brother racing team, fielded at least two entries in every Grander RV and Outdoors Truck Series event this season. I guess that means they finished in a good spot, right? Josh Roomate, or room, made 12 Grander truck starts as a driver owner and added two spot starts in the Xfinity series this year. Okay, so that's it. So they're not going to tell us exactly what he said. Oh, let me find something else. Let me see if they tell us what he did. Nope, they're not going to tell us exactly. Hold on. It says, so this is the third notable suspension NASCAR has levied this season in response to insensitivity toward a particular group of people. Cup Series driver Kyle Larson was suspended indefinitely after saying the N-word. They're not telling us exactly what Buddy did, but Buddy made some insensitive post on social media acting like a little hoe. He made some hoe-ass posts on social media, obviously, and he got his ass suspended indefinitely. Now, that doesn't mean he's done driving forever, so that means he's suspended for an amount of time that they're not willing to disclose at this moment. But Buddy got suspended for saying something. I wish they'd tell us what he said. I really wish they would tell us what he said so I can go a little farther in on that. But just know Josh ass is on the sideline. Josh ass ain't winning. Josh is missing out on money because of some of the things that he put on social media. Hey, man, I've been telling y'all about social media, man. Some of the stuff that you want to say, just yell at your phone or yell at the TV. You ain't got to type it out and put it on social media. Like, verbally say it, yell it out or something like that. I don't know. Just don't put it on social media. Everything don't need to go on social media, right? Everything ain't for every place. You got to know when and where. Like, when I'm doing my Own the Souls of Giants stuff, I'm not this personality. I'm not this full personality when I'm doing Own the Souls of Giants. And when I'm doing this fixed, I bring this person here. You got to know when to do certain things. But look, you type the shit out and hit send. That's stupid. Stop typing the stuff out and hitting send. Like, I've been to a point where I was about to go in on somebody, typed it out, and then erased everything. But I've even stopped doing that because I could mess around and hit a button and post what I didn't mean to post. Now, if you're going to post it, stand behind it. Right? If you're going to post it, stand behind it. And if you have to erase it, or if you have to feel ashamed about what you posted, then your ass know you shouldn't have posted it. You heard me? So, Josh, roommate, I don't know exactly what you did, but you fucked up. And when we find out, we're going to go in on your ass even more. All right? It's time. It's time. It's time. Y'all like how I hit them octaves? It's time. Time for my weekly rant. Hey, and my weekly rant is aimed at Notre Dame's president and all the students and the people who stormed the field after their victory over Clemson last week. Now, Notre Dame's president was called out by the students earlier in this year, in the middle of this COVID, earlier in the year when COVID happened, because he was spotted at a Republican convention without a mask on. And so the students called him out. They're like, oh, you're supposed to be our president. You're supposed to be our leader. You're supposed to be this. You're supposed to be that. And you out there with no mask on. So the president was like, nah, see, y'all got everything all messed up. They tested everybody before they came in there, even though some people might have still got some COVID and stuff, but they tested everybody before they came in there, so y'all don't even know what y'all talking about. So if y'all going to go around talking about me some stuff like that, y'all didn't know what you're talking about. You dipping all in this Kool-Aid, don't know the flavor. A, B, C your way out of my life. That's what he was saying to them, right? Because he was like, man, y'all don't know me like that. Y'all don't know my life. Y'all don't know my situation. Y'all don't know my COVID test. They tested us, cuz. They tested us, cuz. They tested us before we came up in there. That's what the president is saying. They tested us so y'all could get up off my back and eat one, because I got tested. I know what my status was like. I know what everybody who around me with no mask, I know what their status was like. So y'all can go ahead and get up off me, cuz. Get up off me, cuz. According to the president. So now we got a situation, because now the president being petty, and now he calling out the students for storming the field against after the victory against Clemson last week. So crisis has now, according to this article that I have pulled up from TMZ, Notre Dame football has said that despite storming the field, that there have been no positive COVID tests. And I'm gonna go back to what I said in the beginning. First of all, you need to understand, I don't care if this is your freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior year, you need to understand the school that you go to. Here in Tallahassee, we don't storm the field in Tallahassee. AFAMU is used to winning. FSU is used to winning. We don't storm the field in Tallahassee. I know some of y'all freshmen might have missed the memo, but in Tallahassee, we don't storm the field because we're used to winning. We're used to being good. So when we get a victory over a team who may be ranked higher than us, who may have had more success with us over the last couple of years, all right, we won. That's what we're supposed to do. We expect to win. Notre Dame, y'all wilding. Y'all supposed to expect to win. Then y'all stormed the field in the middle of a COVID pandemic. So according to this article and according to Notre Dame, the crisis has been averted in South Bend so far, allegedly. Notre Dame football coach Brian Kelly just said none of his players, oh, so they're saying none of the players have tested positive for COVID despite Saturday's irresponsible post-game scene by the dumbass student body. So they're saying so far none of the students have tested none of the football players have tested positive. At first, I thought they were talking about the student body. And I was like, damn, they got the student body test results and stuff back there like that. How they do that? But they're talking about the players. So the student body, we don't know because they did some dumb shit. And that's why they in this weekly rant, right? So we had two tests, Kelly said, on Mike Greenberg's radio show. Greeny, on Wednesday per 24/7 Sports, we passed all of our testing on Sunday and again on Tuesday, so that's a really good sign. Of course, the fighting Irish ain't exactly out of the woods yet. Sometimes the virus can take a few days to register a positive test, something Kelly is well aware of. So you got to get tested again in probably like a week, right? So if I'm a player, I'm mad at the student body because I got to get three tests within a week. They probably got to stick that long, so because you know they got different types of tests, right? They got a mouth swab, they can swab your tongue. They got a shallow nose swab, they can go in and do a little shallow nose swab, make you feel like you might got a booger in your nose, make you feel like you got to sneeze. Then they got that deep ass nasal swab where they touch the back of your motherfucking neck. I've had that a couple times. That ain't fun. But you be in there, be like, that's how I feel like. So if I'm a player, I'm pissed. Because especially if they have to do that deep nasal swab, oh, man. I want that fade. I want that fade. Because student body acting like we don't have a history of winning, first of all. Somebody should have updated them. Y'all ain't got y'all handbook? We used to winning, first of all. Second of all, that's a motherfucking COVID pandemic. We're doing any and everything to make sure that we don't spread COVID while we enjoy football, and here y'all dumbasses go. So, in my opinion, they should cancel all attendees for the rest of the college football season for all schools. No students. No students, only maybe family. No students at these games because we can't have this. Like here in Tallahassee, the students didn't storm the field, but after the game, the partying after the game became super spreader events. These students are not wearing masks. Now, in fairness, in this picture that I am looking at, that's on the TMZ article for these students at Notre Dame, I do see a host of students with masks on. So I do have to give the Notre Dame students their kudos for storming the field with masks on. I see an abundance of students with masks on. I do see that. So I have to give them that, unlike Florida State students who don't be having masks on. So I'm gonna pick this article back up. Kelly is saying, the coach Kelly is saying that they're gonna get tested again. So they know that, you know, when you got that test hanging over your head, you feel like, oh man, you feel like you're in there with it, getting results for STD test or some pregnancy test when you're in there trying to get them COVID results. So Notre Dame is, well, they were scheduled to play Boston College this past Saturday, which that did happen. So the president of Notre Dame, this is where stuff get real wild, though. So the president of Notre Dame is very disappointed at students who broke COVID protocol and stormed the field when the football team beat Clemson this weekend, and now there will be repercussions. Get him, president. Get him. It's going to be repercussions, first of all, because y'all called me out early in the season when y'all know that president got his COVID test before he went to the National Republican Convention. Y'all want to act like that man ain't had that test before he went to that convention. Now he finna get all y'all for storming that field, suckers. So tons of students rushed onto the field Saturday night when the number 4 ranked Fighting Irish defeated the number 1 ranked Clemson Tigers in a double overtime thriller. Getting up close and personal with players, coaches, and staff, it was a COVID protocol nightmare, and I would be mad. So here is the video. Rushing 3, dropping 8. Uwe threw it. Clemson backup quarterback, Uwe threw it. Clemson playing. Fumble Ruski all over the field. Notre Dame wins. It is down. The game is over. The Irish win in double overtime, and the students piled on the field. I'm talking about they just fell out on the field like a good diarrhea coming out somebody's ass. Like just all piled on the field like a good old diarrhea, just jumping on everybody, hugging everybody and all that like that. And it's like, bruh, COVID. COVID, bro. Why y'all think this year is different? COVID, bro. Notre Dame ain't even really in the ACC, but not really in the ACC. Why you think they in the ACC this year? COVID, huh? So Notre Dame's president, Reverend John I. Jenkins, sent the letter to the student body spelling out a new protocol and threatening to essentially ban students next semester if they don't comply. As exciting as last night's, you notice all my old white men sound the same, sound like old Colonel Sanders, old white men, tell them from the South. So as exciting as last night's victory against Clemson was, it was very disappointing to see evidence of widespread disregard of our health protocols at many gatherings over the weekend, Reverend Jenkins said in a letter sent late Sunday. Jenkins laid out the following steps. I have steps that I have laid out. It'd be funny if he said it like that. Because we are now even more concerned about the potential for contagion and our home communities as you prepare to travel home at the end of the semester. The university will place a registration hold on the record of any student, on the record of any student fails to appear for testing when asked to do so. Your ass don't go get tested, your ass gonna be in trouble, right? A registration hold would mean that you are unable to matriculate, not masturbate, but matriculate or register for classes next semester or receive a transcript. So your ass don't get tested. Your ass don't get registered for class. Your ass ain't in school. Furthermore, you will not leave the South Bend area until you receive the results of your exit test. Again, should we discover that you have left the area, we will place a registration hold on your record. Okay. There will be zero tolerance for any gatherings that do not comport with our health and safety guidelines. Yes, he used the word comport, C-O-M-P-O-R-T. With our health and safety guidelines on or off campus. Those found responsible for hosting such gatherings will face severe actions. Severe sanctions. Reverend Jenkins explained the grave circumstances of this pandemic compel us to take these exceptional measures. He finished by telling the students to look to the football team for inspiration on how to get through these challenging times. Yeah, because, you know, football always get people through tough times, right? Our football team showed us how to finish strong on Saturday night. Please finish the semester strong by wearing a mask, maintaining physical distance, washing your hands, and completing your daily health check. Furthermore, as outlined above, you must, if you wish to return as a student in the spring semester, appear for testing. We're notified and not, unless you appear for testing in the spring, appear for testing, we're notified and not depart until you receive your test. So I don't know why they said it like that. Basically, but it said, if y'all want to go home, you want to come back and all that stuff, you need to be tested. But that storming of the field was stupid, and it put a whole lot of people at risk of catching COVID. Y'all college students got to be better. And I understand I'm talking to college students like that when grown-ass Americans still haven't figured out that, hey, maybe I need to take better personal responsibility for myself because I could be a threat to those around me, those who I don't like, and those who I love. And if I don't take personal responsibility, accountability, and I don't be more mature in my actions, and I don't think safety first, if I'm being selfish, I could be the reason that a loved one passes away, whether young or old. Look, people, this thing really ain't that hard. But Americans are acting real stupid right now. All we got to do is follow COVID protocols. This is not something that's restricting our lives in some manner that we can't exist. Stop being stupid like the Notre Dame students. Stop being stupid like these FSU students, one that I've seen with my own eyes. I've seen a lot of games, college and pro games, with people in these stands with no mask on. People, stop being stupid. A football victory isn't worth your health. A football game isn't worth your health. A party isn't worth your health. Sex, as good as sex is, It ain't worth your health. Stay home and masturbate. Safety first, man. Stop being stupid. Stop being stupid. And Notre Dame stupid students, y'all need y'all asses whooped for that dumbass shit. For putting the whole team and the whole coaching staff at jeopardy. You put them at jeopardy for not being able to play the next week or the next following weeks, and you could have offset that season being stupid because y'all excited that they won a double overtime game against Clemson. Bitch, Notre Dame got a history of winning. Y'all are acting like y'all from a fucking loser-ass school. Y'all act like y'all go to Boston College or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Now, you go to a school with a rich tradition and rich history of winning, and first of all, you storm the field, and then you storm the field in the middle of a COVID pandemic and the country that has the worst numbers because people keep doing dumbass shit like storming the field in the middle of a fucking pandemic. Man, y'all got to wake up, man. Get your minds right. Hey, man, this is another episode, another installment of the Fix Sports Podcast, Season 6, Episode 6, really going down in the South. Today is Monday, November 16th, and I bid y'all adieu. I love you all. I appreciate everybody who support me, everybody who listens to the Fix Sports Podcast. I've been seeing the numbers. Shout out to my clique, man. Shout out to my family. Shout out to my folk, all my Fix folk. Shout out to all y'all, man. Holla at your homeboy. And remember, you can support me on Patreon at patreon.com/thefix. But with all that being said, man, I got to get my ass up out of here and go on to the next one. On to the next. So y'all is the realest. This is the realest sports podcast, the realest, blackest, funniest, and sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the South. Going down. In your mind.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best.